This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate. Look up indefatigable. That right there is your job market. I'm David Brancaccio. We just got a stronger than expected jobs report. There were 216,000 more people on payrolls in December compared to November. Also, while the experts were expecting the unemployment rate to rise slightly, it stayed steady at a very low 3.7%. In Austin, economist Julia Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives.
Pretty solid. Just keeps generating 200,000 jobs month after month after month.
A lot of them are private sector jobs, but in which sectors?
Well, we do actually have a lot of state and local government jobs, too. That has been a powerhouse, as has healthcare and leisure and hospitality. Those three sectors really are driving most of the job gains. Other sectors, they're not hiring as much as they were at the height of the job market, but nor are they firing. So healthy job market overall, a little bit less strong than last year.
Players in the bond market think this might delay a cut in interest rates, pushing the benchmark 10-year interest rate up to 4.06. But other analysts do not think today's data will change the Fed's thinking. What counts as good news in the housing market these days is that the median or typical monthly payment for a home loan taken out today is almost $400 less than it was just 2 months ago. This has longer-term interest rates slide, and that's according to the real estate site Redfin. Marketplace's Nova Safo has this.
The median mortgage payment for a home purchased in December was less than $2,400, according to Redfin. Still a lot for many would-be homebuyers, but low enough that Redfin is seeing a 10% uptick in the number of people out looking at homes. The change tracks with a decline in mortgage rates from a high of nearly 8% in late October to about 6.5% now for a 30-year fixed-rate home loan. The catch is that prices are up too. And while more people are out shopping, that's failed to translate to more home sales. Mortgage applications have been declining. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do
the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
NADA moves in California to set up a structure to deliver economic reparations for slavery, if reparations were ever approved by state lawmakers. A state senator named Stephen Bradford has introduced a bill to set up a reparations agency, but that's the administrative part. Actually approving the idea of reparations would be a separate law, and only a handful of local governments have ever done this. And only 3 in 10 adults say descendants of people enslaved in the U.S. should get compensation, according to a Pew study from 2021. But there are other forms of redress gaining attention. Reporter Lee Hawkins has the latest part of our series this week.
While California lawmakers are gearing up to debate a bill on reparations, author Richard Rothstein has been touring the country to promote a different solution. He's co-authored a new book called Just Action with his daughter, Leah Rothstein.
We have an apartheid society today. The reforms to undo it are not only federal. They're very heavily local because local policies reinforce and sustain the segregation that the federal government created.
Though Rothstein does not believe a reparations bill can pass, he does agree with task force recommendations such as down payment assistance on housing, health care, and free tuition to state colleges.
I agree with that completely. But that's not reparations.
What is it?
Well, there's specific programs targeted at small areas, individual areas, where remedy is required. It's the kind, like the kinds of things I was talking about to you. You know, reparations is a sum of money.
Experts such as Rothstein and Professor Carolina Reed, a UC Berkeley professor who specializes in affordable housing and urban policy, have documented how institutional inequalities have continued to widen racial disparities over time. This includes housing discrimination under the GI Bill. Despite the bill's intent to provide low-cost mortgages and other benefits to World War II veterans, the Federal Housing Administration and the Veterans Administration excluded and discriminated against Black folks. This locked many of them into less affluent and under-resourced neighborhoods, excluding them from rapidly developing suburbs that were predominantly white. According to Reed, the effects of this segregation are still evident today.
For example, we know that Black households are still much more likely to be denied a mortgage today. We know that even if they get a mortgage, Black households will pay more for that credit than non-Hispanic white households.
Rothstein is calling for changes in the credit scoring system. Timely rent payments, for example, often do not get considered by credit rating agencies. And this disadvantages Black home buyers in particular. In 2021, Fannie Mae reported that 17% of all households denied mortgages due to inadequate credit would have qualified if rental payments were considered. Rothstein also noted that many local governments and communities with higher numbers of Blacks don't perform annual property reassessments, sometimes waiting up to 5 years or more. Assessments are more frequent in neighborhoods where white residents are the majority, which raises those property values faster. This leads to Black people paying property taxes at rates higher than the actual market value of their homes.
This is a purely local issue. It needs to be addressed at a local level. And the only way to do that is with what we call in the book, a reinvigorated civil rights movement that can demand remedies to this particular disparate impact on African Americans of the property tax assessment system.
And this renewed movement, he believes, would be more realistic than any expectation of reparations.
There are dozens of these specific policies, specific programs that can be addressed.
UC Berkeley professor Carolina Reed has researched the disproportionate impact of predatory lending on communities of color in California and their link to higher foreclosure rates. She says any progress requires a serious commitment from federal and state governments.
part of, in my mind, a reparations agenda is having the federal government and state governments commit real resources to making those local ideas realities.
We will continue to cover how the debate over reparations plays out in California and beyond. Our series with reporter Lee Hawkins is called Golden Promises, the Battle Over Slavery Reparations in California. The series is also streamable on demand from marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio with our morning report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.